And so Mark 4, verse 30 says this, and he told them this parable. How can I describe God's kingdom realm? Let me illustrate it with this parable. It is like the mustard seed, the tiniest of all the seeds. Yet when it springs up and grows, it becomes the largest plant in the garden. And with so many enormous spreading branches, even birds can nest in its shade. Jesus used many parables such as these as he taught the people, and they learned according to their ability to understand. He never spoke to them without using parables, but would wait until they were alone before he explained their meaning to his disciples. And so, Lord, our prayer this morning is that you would increase our ability to understand. You spoke to your disciples with these words, with these pictures. You're speaking to us today with these pictures and with these words. And so we ask, Lord, that you would increase our understanding. Holy Spirit, move among us, we invite. Amen. So here's a main idea from today's text. It said this, the kingdom of God is real. God's kingdom is real. And it's a spiritual kingdom that is moving among us in a physical way. It arrived with Jesus. And friends, it is growing. It's growing right now, and it's increasing. And it will. It's not this idea that it might take over. It will. It will overcome everything dark, everything evil, everything wrong. And those of us who choose Jesus will not only celebrate at the arrival of its fullness, because the fullness isn't quite here yet, it's coming, but we not only celebrate at the fullness, but we are invited to be right now part of this growth and this movement towards fullness. This morning I was brushing my teeth. It's a good thing to do before you come to church, right? Let's take a survey. I won't do that. Brushing my teeth, and I'm praying for us as a church, and I'm saying, God, show us. God, make this come alive. How do we get this? Because we're talking about these spiritual truths that have impact for our spirit, but it's hard to touch our spirit, isn't it? And so, Lord, show us how to make this open. Show us how to give access for us. Watch that cord. And it was like God was saying, hey, this is a work from the inside out. This is a work that I'm going to do with your people. And it starts on the very inside of their being. It starts at their spirit, and it translates and moves out. See, Jesus used this physical illustration that it's like this mustard seed, this tiniest of all seeds, a seed that fits on the very tip of your finger and is so small. And yet when it's planted, it grows into this massive tree that has branches that birds nest in that provide shade. And see, God's kingdom has already come near. It came near with Jesus. It's already growing. And we are part of that. And sometimes it's easy in our physical world to become so discouraged because we believe something that isn't true. We believe that the physical reality is the only reality. We believe something negative that somebody has spoken over us. Those things and others are lies. But Jesus has showed us the way. He's showed us how to access his kingdom. And so today there's three things as we make space for God to do that work from the inside and move out that we're going to press into. And the first is this idea of being made in his image. The second is the personal application of a seed growing. And then the third is what it looks like as a community to be a mustard seed that begins to grow and spread out in its branches. Image. We are made in God's image. I believe that if we were to actually understand this truth and begin to readily apply it into our lives, it would impact and change every single thing that we touch. If we understand that being made in God's image, it empowers us to be similar to the way that Jesus was, as he said, I'm bringing the kingdom of God. It's coming near. Genesis 1:26 says this, and this is at the very beginning of creation. And so we know that God created the earth. He created everything on the earth. And there were all these days that came about. And then God says this in Genesis 1:26. He says, "Let us make mankind in our image, humankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock." Essentially, to take dominion over. Now, just a side note. Sometimes we do these little side step offs. To rule over or to take dominion of does not mean that we have authority to abuse creation. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes we think it's our right because we're the only ones who are created like God to abuse and basically use up or wreck. That's not God's intent for us. What this means is that we are to be stewards of creation. As ones who bear God's likeness, we are to then oversee his creation with love and with care and with intentional engagement. So important that we understand that. And so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. We are created in God's image. Okay, that was your warm up. Here we go. We were created in God's image. Beautiful. Now here's the thing that Jesus did when he arrived. Right? He's baptized by John the Baptist. He goes out into the desert. He faces the enemy. He overcomes these temptations, and he moves back and begins his ministry, and he does this. He says, from that time on, he proclaims this message. Keep turning away from your sins and come back to God. For heaven's kingdom realm is now accessible. Let me say that again. Keep turning away from your sins and come back to God, for heaven's kingdom realm is now accessible. See, one of the things that Jesus did that he accomplished is he put us back into right relationship with God, which means that we can now access our right understanding of being made in his likeness, in his image. Other versions say repent, which means change your mind. But this one, I like the way it says, keep turning away from your sins. I tell you what, one of the things that's going to be a bit of a block, one of the things that's going to keep you from accessing and living into the fullness that you have as one who is made in God's image is if you keep turning towards your sins. Now, the beautiful thing is that God has overcome your sins. Exactly what we sang this morning. God has made a way for us to be united with. There's nothing that separates us anymore. Let me say that again because it's important for us to understand this. There's nothing that separates us from God, except if we choose it. So don't choose that way. It's not the good way. There's a bit of a lilt when I said that. Don't choose that way. It's not the good way. Keep turning away from your sins. Made in His image is an important thing, isn't it? Image is an important thing for us. Let me ask you like this. Who are you trying to look like? If you look around at the culture, if you look around at your friends, who are you trying to look like? In a post when somebody was commenting about social media, Instagram, I believe was a specific one, this author said this, people not only compare their own bodies, but attributes perceived social value with the likes and the followers that come with having a sick or amazing body. The inverse of that is someone who thinks they don't have that great body, then thinks that they aren't valuable as a person. I remember when I was young, growing up, somewhere at some point it got planted in my brain that I was chubby or that I was fat. Well, somebody actually said I was fat. And don't use this against me because I'm a little sensitive still, but I believed it, right? I'm this little kid, I'm growing up, and somebody important to me said, "You're fat." Now, I've forgiven that person. It's all resolved. It's all good. Don't feel any animosity. And don't laugh with them either, because it was hard. But I believed it. There was this image, idea that had been planted in my mind, and I believed it. And so then when somebody would take a camera out, I would do a trick, and I thought I was fooling everybody. I would do this trick. Now, there's some genetics involved in here with the shape of my face. So I can be fat and still have a little bit of a rounder face. That's okay. You can't even see it because it's under a beard. But here's the trick that I would do. I'm going to see if you can see it. I would do this. Right? I would just suck those cheeks right in so that I didn't look fat on the camera. Right? There was this image that was spoken over me. And not only did it affect me on the outside, it affected me on the inside. Right? I started to allow that to shape who I was on the inside. So not only was I fat, but I wasn't valuable as a person. Not only was I fat, but there are all of these negative things that started to build up. And so rather than the truth that I am loved by God. And here's the thing. You may not have chosen Jesus yet. Right? You may be here because somebody invited you. You may be here because you're curious. You may be here for any number of reasons and not have chosen Jesus. Regardless of that, God loves you with a deep, deep love. He loves you so much that He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus, His Son, to live among us, to be crucified. And then because He lived that perfect life, He rose again, which means that as He rose, every single sin was erased. So turn away from your sins because they have no weight or authority over you, only what you give them. And see, in theory, I knew that as a child who was struggling with somebody telling me that I was fat. But my image was so distorted because that idea meant more to me than I understood what was happening on the inside. And so it was rather than the inside transforming the outside, it was the outside that was shaping the inside. Do you understand what I'm saying? And see, when our image understanding is out of order, when it's out of alignment, when it's the outside that's shaping the inside, or when it's the lies that are shaping who we understand ourselves to be, it becomes challenging then to live into the fullness of the kingdom of God that we've been invited, not only to live in, but to usher in. And so we can chuckle a little bit about that, and we can chuckle about my experience growing up because it's something from the past and still surfaces every now and again. But it's not just those physical things, right? If you take inventory and look at your emotional self, what would that image look like? What would you do if you knew that you were having a picture taken of your emotions, for example? See, understanding our image is essential to engaging in the journey. Absolutely essential for us as we engage in the journey that is the invitation into God's kingdom. See, the Gospel of Luke also has this parable, and it has another one that's attached to it. Luke says this in 13 verse 18. He says, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It's like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches." Again, he asks, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all the dough through." See, there's this idea that the kingdom of God is something that begins small, but it transforms everything that it touches. It's a small, tiny seed, but when it's planted, becomes this beautiful, beautiful tree that God's creature take refuge in, that they even live in. Or it's like yeast that's taken and mixed into dough. Any bakers here? Couple? Three? We got three. Okay, so those are my experts. Those are the ones that you're going to want to verify this. I remember when my mom would make buns. And I've talked about cinnamon buns before, but these are just the normal buns I'm going to tell you about now. And it was beautiful. It's a tradition that we still actually hold on to today. And she would make these buns on Saturday so that on Sunday when it came time for the meal, you actually got to rest. You didn't have to make them. It's this rich inheritance. There's beautiful things from various cultures, aren't there? And so I remember when she'd be taking the dough and she'd be adding all the ingredients in. Now, 60 pounds that this story of Jesus is talking about, that's a lot of dough. 60 pounds is a lot of dough. You're going to feel that in your back when you lift 60 pounds of dough. Right? And I was actually trying to do the measurements to figure out how much yeast, but we're talking about a little bit of yeast for this massive pile of dough. Right? And I remember when my mom would work the dough and she'd let me put my fingers in it and the stickiness and the beauty, and you'd stick your hand and you'd pull it back and there'd be this stretch of dough. How am I doing so far, experts? Am I okay? All right. There's this beautiful experience of working and kneading the dough. That's a term, kneading the dough. and you'd put it together, and at a certain point you arrived and it was good and it stopped, and you put it in a bowl or something to set, and inside the bowl it was this flat little piece at the bottom, right? Just think about 60 pounds. You'd need a pretty big bowl for that. My mom never did 60 pounds that I know of. And then she would do this thing that was, it was this spectacular experience. She'd take a tea towel or a hand towel, and she would moisten it, and it would become, I don't know why. I'm just telling you what I remember. And then she would drape it over top of the bowl. Joel, don't touch the tea towel. Wow, come on. You gotta touch a little bit. You gotta see what eventually the dough would start to rise, and you'd start to see it underneath. It would push the tea towel up, wouldn't it? Oh, that was exciting. Exciting to see it rise and it move and it push and it come up. And Jesus is saying that it's like that yeast that a woman took and mixed into 60 pounds of flour, and it works its way all through the dough. And as it works its way, it makes it rise and it comes to life, and it makes these buns, rather than being these stale, flat little biscuit things, into these rich, gooey, tasty things that you want to put butter all over and eat 10 of them. Anybody with me there? For those of you who aren't allowed to eat buns, I'm very sorry. I bless you, and the kingdom of God will restore all gluten. I promise. I promise you, God's going to make it back. See, he's saying that the kingdom of God is like this. It's a small bit. It's like the yeast that works into and invades and makes whatever it touches come alive. It makes whatever it touches come alive. Now, we talked about the importance of understanding who we are as that we're made in God's image. In order for us to carry the kingdom of God, we have to understand who we are, that we're actually made in the image of God, and we're restored to that image because of what Jesus did. Then comes, on a personal level, what does it look like for the kingdom of God to be planted inside of you? Now, I shared a lie about my image, my body image, that I believed, that was overcome when I realized that regardless of what's happening on the outside, I am valuable. And regardless of how I look, I have access to the true joy in life of Jesus. Now, there's other lies. I'm just going to throw two of them out here. Now, I want you to fill, this is an important fill in the blank. Don't speak it out loud. You don't have to speak it out loud. Save it to speak it out loud with somebody later. Okay? I will be happy when, fill in your blank. I will be happy when, fill in the blank. Now, just take 10 seconds here. Consider that question. You're going to have a whole bunch of options that come in your mind, or maybe you've got one that you're lasering in on. Now, here's the thing, church. If it's, I'll be happy when I have enough money, I'll be happy when my mortgage is paid off, I'll be happy when I've accomplished this project, I'll be happy when my relationships are in right order, I'll be happy when I'm successful in this. If that is the focus of your happiness, you're believing a lie. What? All those are good things. Absolutely, they're good things. But when they become the centerpiece, when they become the focal point, when they become all that you're about, they will not make you happy. And for those of us who have lived a few years, ask us, do they ever actually make you happy? They may make you happy for a day, but is it the true deep happiness that lasts? No. See, the truth of the seed of the kingdom of God that is planted in you is that you will be happy when Jesus takes the prime place in your life. Jesus had these sayings that he would say that unless you turn your back and reject essentially all of those things that are important to you, money, your status, even your relationship with those closest in your family, if you can't reject those, you won't be my disciple. Why? I thought he loved us. I thought he made a way for us to be. Absolutely, he did. See, what he's saying is you actually won't be joyful in those places unless I'm in that prime place in your life. See, when you trust me, I give you everything. When you trust me, even relationships that are off and hard, I make right. Here's another saying that you hear often. I was in a conversation this past week with a few people, one of them I had never met before, and was listening to that person who is deeply, deeply loved by God. And I was listening to that person describe difficult and challenging relationships that they had been in. And as a result of those difficult and challenging relationships, they had developed certain mantras that they would apply into their life. Like, I need to take care of myself first, and then I need to take care of the relationship that was a marriage, and then if that person's taking care of themselves, then it all... And these understandings that had been developed and shaped out of pain and hurt. Or this idea that I need to be true to myself. I feel this way, therefore, it's true. It's my truth. Have you heard those things before? Apply those to anything. Thoughts around morality, thoughts around sexuality, thoughts around finance, you name anything. And we take these emotions or feelings and say they're true. Here's the thing with the kingdom of Jesus as it speaks to us, this tiny seed that's planted in us. As we choose Jesus, we need to be true to Jesus. We need to be true to Him. Why? Because literally, He died for you. This isn't just a myth, something that we sort of believe in, but we try and be really good to each other. This is an actual truth. The Son of God died for you so that you could have access to full life. And the access to the full, that's the kingdom of God as we put Jesus first. So the challenge for us then is don't become discouraged because we're facing these lies all day long. Don't become discouraged. Don't believe the lies. Choose rather the truth that Jesus is who he says, that he is the way into the kingdom of God. And not only that, but we're invited to carry and bring the kingdom of God everywhere that we go. And here's the most amazing thing, that regardless of the various mixed seeds that we have, as the kingdom of God is within us, it does grow. God's kingdom does grow. And as we're faithful, and like the scripture said, we turn from our sins, it grows more and more and more. So we've got right now our image, the understanding that we're created in God's image. We've got this idea, there's this personal element of the seed planted in us and growing up. And then there's the community seed, and this is how we change the world. And remember, it's not actually us doing it, it's God's work. He's made a way, the hard work is already done, church. What comes now is obedience. It's as God calls us to do something, we do it because we're free. We're not tied to the sins of our past. As God calls us to give something away, we give it away because we know that we're not rooted in the material world. Our kingdom is God's kingdom. If we go back to last week, there's this verse in 27, and I don't think it'll be up here, but it says this: night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, and this is the man who plants a seed, right? What's the kingdom of God like? It's like this man who plants a seed. Night or day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and it grows, though he does not know how, all by itself. All by itself. Now, what we did last week was we pressed into this idea that all by itself does not mean that we're not called to be disciples and to be active. All by itself doesn't mean it's a get out of jail free and then take it easy and sit back. That's where we were last week. But all by itself means that the kingdom of God is true, it's real, it's growing, it's alive, it's changing the world around us. I remember in September of 2013, the first game on the Seahawks roster that year was against the Carolina Panthers. And I remember at the start of that year, hoping that the team I had been cheering for a few years was going to do something big. Any NFL fans here? A few? Timidly? I know that there's some dyed-in-the-wool CFL fans. It's okay to say you like the NFL as well. Well, what happened that year was fairly sensational. And if you're a hockey fan, you can follow. If you're a fan or have a degree of competitiveness in you, you'll understand what I'm saying. We watched as our team pushed and had these agonies and there were injuries, but they stayed on top of their game and they made it clearly into the playoffs. And they made it through the playoffs, through all these hard-fought games and into the final game. And they were playing against the Broncos for the Super Bowl. Super Bowl is a familiar term, at least. If you're not a football fan, you'll have heard that, I imagine. They're playing in the Super Bowl. Now think back. If you've ever been a fan of something, think back to the time that's invested. Now, just a side note, I used to follow the Canucks. Man, I loved the Canucks. I would schedule my time around the games that were coming, and then I realized this is actually a form of idolatry, and I need to stop. So just a side note. So I readjusted and I went to football because it's only 18 games. So side note, 2011 for the Canucks, if you're with me in 2011, we got to the final game, game 7, and what happened? We fell apart. I still need some therapy for that, apparently. And that might have been, too, why I took a hiatus, excuse me, from hockey. Anyways, there's all this buildup, and then there's that you get to the end, and they're in the final game to win the whole thing that you've invested in emotionally and in all these ways, and they lose. And what happens? Oh, it's destruction. It's this all. Now, the Seahawks, in the year that I'm talking about, got to the final game. They're playing in the final game against the Broncos, and they win decisively. Hello. They win decisively. Now, Joel, why in the world are you talking about football? Here's the thing, church. In some ways, in the kingdom of God, it's like we're the Seattle Seahawks, and we're in September, and maybe it's game 2 or 3 or 4. But we're in the season where if you had a gift of prophecy, you would know that you have won the end game. See, church, the kingdom of God is like this. It's this small seed that's planted that becomes the tree that wins and provides life for the whole world. See, as we move every day, we are one step closer to the fullness, the full realization of the kingdom of God. Every day, we're one step closer. And here's the thing, church, when we choose Jesus, when he becomes the guiding light, when he becomes the one through which all other things are trusted and experienced, when we choose that, everything from this moment until that one becomes very simple and very accessible. As soon as we shift out of that, as soon as something else becomes our prime target, our prime sight line, all of that falls out of kilter. But the invitation is this: the arrival of the kingdom of God in its fullness is a guaranteed thing. The victory that we have is a guaranteed thing. How are we doing for time? One last story. We're watching Star Wars with some of our kids. You get to Star Wars, the 6th episode, and we're watching and Jody had popped in just to sit in there, and I won't go through all of the details, but she said, "Oh, we're coming up to the end scene. This is my favorite part." And in my mind, I went, "What? That's your favorite part?" And then I thought, of course it's the favorite part. Death is defeated, right? The good. Now, we're not going to go into a conversation. We know that Jesus is the way. We're not going to blend that spirituality here, right? But it's this similarity where death is defeated, the king is alive. See, here's the thing, church. Jesus has come, he's lived, he's ushered in the beginning of the kingdom rule. But he didn't just disappear and leave us. He went back, and with God, they sent the Holy Spirit, who, when we confess we believe in Jesus, takes up residence in us. John 14:23 says this, "And my Father will love you so deeply that we," that is Jesus and the Father, "will come to you and make you our dwelling place." Now, this is that spiritual part, this spiritual truth that God takes up residence in us. We are not alone. And we have full access to God who is within us. The invitation, church, is for us to do what Jesus said. Just stop turning to sin, turn to me. Turn to me so that you can join in this tree that is becoming a massive tree in the garden. Join me in becoming this small bit of leavening agent that's moving through all of the dough, even though it looks like chaos in the world, which it does at times, doesn't it? We haven't reached the fullness yet. We're not abandoned. Take heart. You see, as we take heart, as we start to press into who we are truly, made in God's image, God then uses us. He uses us to, as we listen and keep in step with the Spirit, to plant these kingdom seeds in people. And maybe it's that somebody sees that you live a little bit differently than others. Or maybe it's they see that your language is a little bit different than others. Or maybe they see that you care for people a little bit different than others. Or maybe you're doing that maybe a bit of an awkward thing where you invite somebody to come here so that they can hear about the truth. See, as we're obedient, as we're living to our fullness, our image, we're planting seeds. God's done the work. He's the one that makes the seeds grow, right? What a gift. What a gift to know that we're in that championship year. That it's not going to be necessarily an easy walk. That there's going to be some injuries. There's going to be some things that happen, but at the end of this year, the Super Bowl is ours. Can I invite you to stand? And invite our ministry teams, if you can make your way forward. So, Lord, we stand as people created in your image. And that part is true for every single one of us here. And you look at every single one of us here, you look at everyone in this world, and your heart longs for us. And so, church, I just want to invite us just into a few moments of considering that truth. That God right now looks at you, regardless of your age, regardless of your past, regardless of things that you've thought, any of that stuff, and he just has this deep, rich love. So just invite you to close your eyes and just stand in that. And Lord, we just invite you to speak into us, to affirm that love. And so we stand in this place, Lord, anchored in your hope, in your truth, that you have made a way for us. And there are some here who are hearing this and feeling like they're not seeing the kingdom or experiencing the kingdom. And so I pray that you would give them a word of what they need to release or take up in order to open, have their eyes opened. And so, Lord, we pray that you would make us here bearers of your image, carriers of your kingdom, able to understand what's true, able to understand what's a lie. And I pray that you would give us the courage to face you, to choose you, to press into you. So we pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, church, we're going to move into ministry time right now. And would just invite you to make some space in here and not to rush out. If there's something that has connected for you, especially, just take a moment and pause. If there's something that you're missing and wanting more of a connection for, take a moment and pause. We've got communion that's here at the front, and we've got a prayer team over here. On a side note, if you're here and you're wondering about Jesus, if you want to know more about who he is and what he has for you, I'd invite you to go to our prayer team just so that we can pray with you or you can ask questions. And so I bless you, church. I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you as those who carry God's kingdom with you. Have an amazing week.